It takes money to make money, and that's not just an expression, it's an actual regulation. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Sabri Benishor, in for Molly Wood. The world of private equity, the hedge funds, the venture capital, the people pouring a ton of money into startups, the risk can be huge, and so can the reward. If you want a piece of this world, you've got to be what's known as an accredited investor. And what does that mean? It means rich, okay? You have to be rich is what that means. You have to make $200,000 a year or more, or be worth $1 million, not including your house. Those are the rules. But now the SEC is changing the rules. It's saying you could become an accredited investor through your expertise or professional certifications. Arlen Hamilton, founder of the venture capital firm Backstage Capital, has been pushing for changes that could reduce the racial wealth gap. She told my colleague Molly Wood that, after all, anyone old enough can make a bet in Vegas and lose it all, so why not in the casino of private equity?
The idea that just because somebody has figured out how to have a salary or income that's $200,000 or more, that should allow them to make investment decisions more so than someone else who doesn't, that's just really odd to me. It's like elitism at its like core. And I think originally, and I think maybe earnestly, the idea is to protect those who do not have a lot of extra capital from perhaps investing too much money or losing money in a very risky asset class, which is that startup and that private equity and that venture world. But there are ways to do that. There are ways that are already being used, like having caps on how much you can spend on investing in a given year.
It seems like there's an argument that that creates a more vibrant ecosystem across the board. More people have opportunities to invest, but they also may invest in a broader set of companies that would otherwise have a hard time raising money.
This is exactly right. You said it perfectly. If you think about things like the PayPal mafia, these are the people who made a lot of money from PayPal. They're the same old, and then they invest in the same old, and there's this pattern matching that just continues and continues. I've invested in 150 companies, and I can tell you firsthand how much of a difference it makes to have someone on the check writing side making decisions who looks like you, who you can relate to, and who has gone through some similar things.
How about the accreditation process itself? How hard is that?
Well, being an accredited investor actually itself is not a process at all. Really, you just have to prove that you reach certain things. There's no training. There's no like test you take to literally be an accredited investor. You just become one once you reach a certain threshold of and meeting certain guidelines. And then you have to prove it in a lot of cases. You have to prove it by showing proof of income or tax returns or things like that.
Oh, wow. So it really was income-based. Like you got to a certain level of income and boom, you were anointed.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's very odd because it put a lot of trust in people and took a lot of trust away from others.
And then what about awareness? Even with the lowered threshold now, even if it's not quite enough, do you think people will participate or how can they be sort of found and encouraged to participate?
I think they will participate because people are already doing so with the crowd equity funding regulations that are there now with the Jobs Act. I mean, you can today go to several websites that are vetted and you can invest even if you're not accredited. And I've seen, in our case, I've seen a company in our portfolio have 3,000 or 4,000 investors put in $100, $200. My own mother, who is 72, became an angel investor for the first time, putting money behind a company that did crowd equity. So I know that it happens and it's popular, it's exciting, and it's effective. You know, if you think, I don't know what the percentage is, but if it's, let's say it's 10 to 20% of the companies are able to do that. Why not all of them?
I guess the only question about risk is, you know, we sort of generally have an idea of the odds in Vegas. You could look them up online or you kind of know the house always wins. Whereas, you know, in a lot of cases, we don't know as much about private companies. Should some of these efforts be combined with a better way for people to assess risk?
Sure. I think, you know, right now you have to state the inherent risk of anything that you do in the crowd you have to state that. I don't know, though, if my 40-year-old cousin in Mississippi, when they go to the casino boat and put down $200 on a machine, I don't know that they're thinking about the risk. I don't know that they're being taught the risk. I think there's a great opportunity to have very educated decision-making. But when it comes down to it, just knowing that venture investing in itself is highly risky, and you'd only want to put a certain percentage of your entire portfolio into it anyway.
Arlen Hamilton at Backstage Capital, speaking with Molly Wood. And now for some related links. After we spoke with Arlen, she tweeted some interesting ideas on what she would like the SEC rules to be around becoming an accredited investor. She would get rid of the income threshold and instead have a kind of tiered cap to prevent people who don't have a lot of money to spare from investing more than 10% of their gross income. She also suggested having a short online course and a test, kind of like what people need to do to get their driver's license, and everyone would have to take it, even the Warren Buffetts of the world. And I don't know why, but the vision of Warren Buffett hunched over a computer taking that test brings me joy. I'm Sabri Benishour, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.